Amen. We can come and adore Him and the joy that it brings this morning. Amen. I hope you all have joy. I hope you like joy. We're going to talk a little bit about joy today. If maybe you hadn't liked joy before, maybe you'll like joy when you leave. You'll take your Bibles this morning and open to the book of Romans chapter 12. Move your finger over to verse 9 is where we'll be beginning in just a moment there. As we look at this and as you're turning, once you've turned, if you would please stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. Romans chapter 12, verse 9 says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, preserving in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another and do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends upon you, be at peace with all men." Father God, we thank you for your word today. Father, I thank you that you have given us joy through the birth of your Son and through our salvation. Now, Holy Spirit, Lord, I just ask that you would move today. That, Father, you would help us to hear the word. Holy Spirit, you would illuminate the word to us so that we would understand it. You would convict us of its truth, and that you would help us to move it to our heart and to be able to respond to you. Lord God, I just ask all of this in the precious and the most holy name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. What is joy? I like to look in the different dictionaries that I have, the different theological books, and I come across this one from the Lexham Bible Dictionary. And listen to this description of what it says is joy. "Closely related to gladness and happiness, although joy is more of a state of being than an emotion, a result of choice, one of the fruits of the Spirit, as mentioned in Galatians 5. Having joy is part of the experience of being a Christian." Joy is more than happiness. This world is oftentimes about happiness, and when we're not happy, we think something is a matter because of the way we've been done. Well, let me tell you what, I have joy because of what Christ has done in my life, but I tell you, I'm not always happy. If you know someone who's always happy, then find out whatever they're taking because they're on something, amen? Because we're not always just happy, because happy is by things that are happening around us. It's by things and conditions, but joy is different than that. And I found it amazing of looking up this word joy. Let me tell you, do you know the Bible talks about joy and the Bible talks about happiness? If you were to do a search for the word happy, you're going to find it in Scripture in the New American Standard about 19 times. I would say for a word, as many words in here, that's probably pretty good, wouldn't you think so? But if you look up joy or rejoice, you will find it 575 times. There is a difference between joy and happiness. And the Bible is more concerned with our joy and rejoicing and the joy that comes to us. And where does that joy come from? But what we celebrate this month, it comes through the birth of Christ. You know, in the Old Testament, they were anticipating a coming of a Messiah, a coming of a Savior. They had hope. They were looking for joy in their life. And all of that time was being prophesied. All of the Old Testament is telling about God's love. It's telling us who Jesus was going to be and tell us the need for Jesus, and it all about that. And then we come to the New Testament or the New Covenant, and we begin with the birth of Christ. The fulfillment of all of the Old Testament is coming, and we have the manger scene down here before us. You notice, and we point this out all the time, that we've got Mary and Joseph, but there's no Jesus there. Jesus is where the hope, where the excitement, where the joy comes from, just as if we had a big Christmas tree up here, and maybe some of you have a Christmas tree in your house. I have one in mine, and there's presents underneath there. And there's an excitement and anticipation about what's under there. It's going to bring joy. It's going to bring happiness. And all of that excitement is exactly what they were experiencing. And for us today, we have joy because the gift has been open. It's been presented for all. The gift was actually lifted up on the cross for all to see and to display that gift. But just like a gift under the tree, it's no good unless you what? You receive it. You have to take it. It's a free gift to you, but it cost someone something. Tell you what, for us this year's been a little bit different as we've been getting things prepared and took Waylon, and he said, you know, last few years, let me just back up a little bit. You know how it is with kids. What am I going to get? Here's what I want. Here's my list. And you know, this year Waylon says, I need to go get something for someone else. So we were going to town the other day, and he said, I know exactly what I want to get Ma and Grandma. We need to go here, and we need to get this, and we need to get that. And let me tell you what, I made a beeline right there. We went in there, I let him look, and he found it. He went to the store with his mom the other day with Nicole, and there was something he wanted to get for someone else. His grandma was here, and he wanted to go to the store so he could get some gifts for some other people. You know, the excitement and the joy also comes from giving and from sharing. And when we understand that it is great to receive, but it's also great to give. All year we've been looking at I am statements. If you've noticed that, each month we've looked at I am designed for a purpose and all that. And this month is I am designed to share the gospel. God created us for that, to give that gospel to someone else. Let me tell you, just like Easter, Christmas is another great time that people are willing to listen. And it's a little easier to share the gospel at that time. But what I want us to look at is the source of our joy. And the first part is Jesus. You got a J on your screen, up there on the screen in your bulletin. You see J-O-Y. We're going to look at those. But the first thing is Jesus. In church, I'm here today to tell you that our joy comes from Jesus. Joy comes from nowhere else but from Jesus. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have joy. You might have happiness. You might have excitement. But there's no joy because we were created by God to be in relationship with Him. We were created by God to be in fellowship with Him. And the only way that's possible is through Jesus Christ and what He did, and we're to receive that. Because if we don't receive Jesus Christ, then we're still sinners in our dirty clothes, and we're still a stench to God. God cannot be around sin. There is no relationship with God without receiving His Son that was given so that we could be forgiven. And church, once we get there, and once we realize our need and we receive Him and we surrender to Him, joy comes inside and joy lives there. It's the joy that gets us through life. Looking out across here, I've been with many of you through the loss of a loved one. Some of you have experienced loss before us here. You might not have had happiness, but there's still a joyous, unusual joy that resides inside. because we know who we are. What is this? It tells us there at Romans 12:12, it gives us three things. It says, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, and devoted to prayer. So I want to look at the three of those things because this is what Jesus offers us. He offers rejoicing in hope. Turn in your Bibles with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in hope of the glory of God. That's the reason we can have joy. That's the reason that Jesus provides our joy. That's the reason that there is no joy without Jesus, because it tells us that through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been justified. You understand that? We've been justified through that. What do we mean, these great big church words? What do we mean justified? Let me tell you, we were enemies to God before we received Him. God states very clearly from the very beginning of the Bible, all the way through the Bible, He talks about sin and how sin separates, and we are separated from Him the moment that we sin. And that it tells us in the first book in Genesis that death is required for the payment of sin. Bloodshed. I believe there's two deaths. There's a physical death that comes. There's also the death that we are separated from God through sin. But when Jesus came, He died for all, so that those who receive Him could be justified. We were made right. God looks at the slate and He sees it as clean. He doesn't hold our sin against us. The moment Christ died on the cross, He died for all the sins past, all the sins present, and all the sins future. And when we receive that, God looks at us and He sees us. And He sees us as our sin is no more. It tells us that we're at peace with God. Let me tell you, without peace with God, there is no joy. Amen. Would you agree with that? If not, just spend some time and you'll figure it out. Without Christ, there's only doom. There is no joy. And it says that we've obtained our introduction by faith through that. It also tells us there at Romans 12 about persevering in tribulation. Let me just read to you. I think it'll be on the screens there from Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 35. It says, therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, He who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteousness, one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith in the persevering of the soul. Jesus Christ gives us joy because He gives us the ability to persevere through trials. Regardless if you're a Christian or a non-Christian, you are going to experience trials. I know no one in this room who has not experienced a trial. And actually, it's either said you're in a trial, you're coming out of a trial, or you're headed into a trial. So just if you're not there, hang on a minute, it's coming. But we're able to get through trials, as we consider often as difficulties, because we have joy, we have hope, we have peace. It's brought through Christ. None of us will ever experience the greatest trials as Christ did for us. Imagine God's own Son, what He went through for you so that you could experience joy. was reading in some different people's quotes, and one of them was talking about the joy that we get that comes from Christ because of what he went through so that we could have joy. And it's the joy that God wants us to have. Jesus also gives us joy because we can be devoted to him in prayer. Over in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, we get the beautiful picture. Jesus has been crucified, and they've all gone into the room, and they're praying. It says, "These all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." We hear prayer all the time. You hear me talk about prayer every time we gather, because prayer is the communication with God. It's the telephone call, may we say. It's our ability, you get this, church, listen here, it's our ability to reach into heaven and to talk with the one who loves you, the one who created you, the Holy One, the King of Kings. Do you ever pause before you pray and think about the magnitude of what privilege we have to be able to talk to God? And guess what? Talking, it's a conversation. Let me tell you, in case no one ever has, he listens. But more than that, more than I can even comprehend, he wants to hear from me. He wants to hear from you. Think of the joy that we have that Jesus has provided because we are able to be devoted in prayer. We're able to talk and to pray, and God listens. We're able to step into heaven, may we say, and have requests, and God listens, and God answers those requests. Sometimes he answers the little ones and the big ones. Sometimes it's little to us. He still cares. Sometimes he answers those prayers that maybe we don't even know we have. But the joy that comes from knowing that God Almighty listens. Another part of our joy is the O. It's from others. Joy comes from Jesus and from others. I get this. Our joy comes from not thinking about ourselves, but about others. Let me tell you what, maybe not you, but for me, if I focus on myself, sometimes there's not a whole lot of joy. When we become inward focused, how easy is it that we become all of a sudden cynical and critical of everything around us? But there's joy that comes when we think about other people. How are we able to? How is it that I can think about other people? Because Jesus thought about me and what Jesus has done to me. It tells us at Romans 12, 13, back at our passage there, it says, "Contribute to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality." So it's about others. We need to help others. Other believers. We need to help those who are in need. All of us in here, I believe, would say that we've been blessed by God. And I believe most all of us in here have been blessed by God financially. I can tell you, you've been blessed by God financially if you live in America, because we're one of the richest that there is. We could go to other countries. You've seen it on TV. They don't even know where their next meal's coming from. We see pictures of little children that all they are skin and bones. None of us in here are skin and bones. We all might have a grumbly tumbly and ready to eat. Lunch is coming. But none of us are starving to death in this room. But there are people around us. We need to think about others. It says contribute to their needs. That could be prayer. That could be financially. It could be providing a meal. It could be helping mow a yard. It could be so many things that people need. There's many things that our widows and widowers need that we can step in and we can help do with that. It says practicing hospitality. Being hospitable toward others. Maybe in the workplace, maybe at the home. When's the last time we've opened up our home and had someone come in and just spend time fellowshipping or maybe going there? I think I mentioned last week, this time of year, but we can show Christ through our hospitality in these lines at these checkout stores. Rather, there's someone checking you out that's probably just been cursed out by the person in front of you. Or maybe it's not getting that attitude that so easily comes when you have to check yourself out and the thing just don't want to work right. I tell you, when those things first come out, I would avoid them like the plague. Because sure enough, as you scan that grocery and you don't set it in just the right place, it just locks up and says to do something with it. But can we be hospitable? You know, the people and talking to other people about what they're going to say and what they're going to do and about this. Their employees are doing their job. I remember when COVID come out and you'd go into a store and there'd be someone saying, you can't come in without a mask. How many of those people got it from those who didn't want to wear? It's being hospitable. It shows a lot. And let me tell you, when you begin to look at others, joy can come inside. When you begin to live out your Christianity, also it tells us there at Romans, chapter 12, verse 14, it says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. And this one's difficult. Blessing other people. Listen to this definition for bless. To invoke divine favor, often implying a positive disposition or kind action toward the recipient. Now, it's not going to be on the screen, but let me just read to you real quickly three other verses that talk about this. In Matthew 5:44, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Luke 6:28, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. 1 Corinthians 4:12, and we toil, working with our hands. When we are reviled, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure. That is a sign of joy. That is a sign of Christ in you, if you're able to bless your enemy. I'm not going to ask any of you to raise your hands because I'd have to do it too. It's easy to curse your enemy. I don't like them. Pastor, you don't understand what they've done to me. I don't care. You don't understand what we did to Christ. But the joy that we get, because let me tell you, if you want to be mad at your enemy, if you want to hold whatever they did against you and let that begin to fester inside of you, you're going to mask over this joy that's in you, and you're going to begin to fester, and it's going to begin to boil just like a soreness on us festers and boils, and when it pops, it stinks. It's the same thing with our attitude. When it festers and it boils, eventually it's going to come out and it's going to stink. And I'm here to tell you, oftentimes when this happens, when it busts upon someone who was not the one who offended you. It's probably the one that's closest to you that takes the blunt. There's no joy in that. Joy is when we can bless, when we can love our enemies, when we can pray for them. You know, oftentimes I found out in life, those who were my enemy or those who I thought did me wrong or those who looked at me wrong or cut me off in traffic or said something, they had something going on in their life that I didn't know. And it doesn't necessarily excuse their action. But we can have joy when we can love them, when we can pray for them, and we cannot mistreat them. We have joy from others when we live our lives with them. Look there at verse 15. It says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. You want to experience joy, be around someone who's rejoicing and rejoice with them. Be glad for them. They got a promotion. They got a new car. Something went right in their life. They were able to find a house. I mean, there's so many things that people rejoice for. You want joy? Get in there and live life with people where you can rejoice them. Come along beside them. But guess what that means? It means sometimes we got to get a little dirty. And when they weep, we need to be right there with them weeping. When they've lost a loved one, weep with them. When they've been devastated, weep with them. When they've come through a sin that's affecting them and they weep, weep with them. You see, joy comes from others. God designed us for relationship, and a true relationship is when we get in and we live life with others. And that means the ups, and it means the downs. And you know what? Just a side note. When you do that for others, they're going to do it for you. And that's where the joy comes in. And lastly, the why is for you. See, our joy comes from our devotion to others. Look there at Romans 12 at verse 16. It says, be on the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends upon you, be at peace with all men. So you see, the last part of joy is you. It tells us there to be the same mind. We're not to be haughty. I mean, it's no fun living life when you think you're better than everybody else. Because I'm here to tell you, you're probably not. If you think you're better than everybody else, just watch out, because you're going to take a stumble. We need to come together. You know, what is fun is it if you're above everybody else? Nobody wants to be around that kind of person. You want that joy, then you experience it with other people. You associate with everybody. It says there, don't pay back evil for evil. And if possible, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. What does that mean? There are some times that it's not possible for you to be at peace with all men. And what do I mean by that? There are times in our life where something happens between two people. You can go and you can apologize. Bible tells us we need to do everything on our part to be at peace with them. If they choose not to, you can't make them. Just let them be in their misery. But do everything possible that you can to be at joy with all men. And it makes all the difference in the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Finally, brethren, rejoice. Be made complete. Be comforted. Be like-minded. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. God resides in us. When we experience this joy, when we share this joy with others, it's there. It's all about us. Let's see, I think this is on the screen, this quote from a gentleman by the name of J.I. Packer. Many of you might have heard of him. It says, joy is not an accident of temperament or unprecedented providence. Joy is a matter of choice. It's a matter of choice. You see, it also comes from none of us in this room can control what happens to us. We can't. But we can control how we respond to what's happened to us. And that's where the joy comes in. Christ comes in. He's filled us. We have joy because we know that one day the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is coming back. And when he comes back as a believer, we have the hope, the peace, the joy that he is going to come and he's going to take us on authority of his word to be with him forever, to live with him forever. So while we might go through bumps and trials on this side of that, we might go through down times, we can always keep our eyes looking forward with hope and with joy and know that he's coming again. Leave the slides there for just a moment. I want to read you some words for a song, and then I'm going to show them to you because I want you to sing with me. But let me just read them to you, and I want you to listen, and maybe you remember this. And I believe it kind of gets us to where we are today. It says, I've got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I've got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart, down in my heart, and I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. It says, I've got the love of Jesus down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I've got the love of Jesus down in my heart, down in my heart to stay. And then the third verse, and if the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on attack. Ouch, sit on attack. Ouch, sit on attack. And if the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on attack. Ouch, sit on attack to stay. Maybe you could hear that as we sing them in. I love that part. I can hear it when you used to hear it. I got the love of Jesus down in my heart. The real high part. But y'all, come on, let's put the words up on the screen. Help me out here so I don't do this all by myself. I'm not the best soloist, but you probably remember it, so let's sing it. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart, down in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. Let's go to the second verse. I've got the love of Jesus down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I've got the love of Jesus down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart, down in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. Now, if you want to do the actions with this next one, if you remember it, you can do it. And if the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on attack. Ouch, sit on attack. Ouch, sit on attack. And if the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on attack. Ouch, sit on attack to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart, down in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. See, that's the joy. We can get joy by singing. We can get happiness by singing. But it all comes from having the love of Jesus down in. That is the source of our joy. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Father God, Lord, we are thankful that through the birth of your Son, we get joy. Father, we're anticipating the fulfillment of that joy when you come back for us. Father, we thank you for the joy of salvation where we're made justified with you. And Lord God, we seek you now for that joy. May it fill us. May it be not just in our minds, but may it be in our heads. And Father God, I just pray everything in the precious, most holy name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.